This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gamble.
Yeah, hello, hello, hello. Hey, there we are again. And with me, like always, is Leon.
Hello,
hey, Leon.
There.
You're basically, no, literally right back from Vienna.
True.
Where you joined the latest community sprint.
Indeed.
For Mordig. So I don't want to spoil it too much, but give me one highlight beyond Wiener Schnitzel.
I'd say one highlight is the maybe upcoming feature of the point groups, which we will see in the Mordig 5 beta, but I think we will talk about that a bit more in detail later.
Later, like in this podcast? Or
later in this podcast, I will give 2 points about that.
Okay, so now... we are recording this on July 24th, so that's why you're just back. How did you like it in general?
Oh, it was awesome.
Of course.
One of my favorite words, but super nice meeting the locals and seeing Joey and Roof once again.
It was. And I hear there were some parties going on.
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah. Okay, so today's... interview part will be with my good friend Paul Stevens about integrating Sweet CRM or Sugar CRM with Mordig, and that being the latest versions, where we discuss if is it possible. Spoiler, yes. what do you use it for? What are the challenges and so on? So stay tuned for that. But like always, we start with some code news. And I guess Mordig 5 is a big deal here. Right?
Yeah, Mordig 5 is a pretty big deal. The Mordig 5 Alpha has been released and is ready to be tested, limit tested. See if you find any bugs left, if you find any features that don't work as expected, or if it's just as perfect as we all imagine it to be. So we all just need to
confirmation.
Take a look and taste it.
Yeah, honestly, my experience is we have an alpha, nobody's using it.
Yeah,
it's not only Mordig, but everywhere out there, alphas are issued. I wouldn't say nobody cares. Everybody's happy, but nobody's really trying it out. We are not only trying it out for QA, we are also using it for upgrading plugins to Mordig 5. And please do the same and be very, very open-eyed and report all the issues that you find.
Yeah, and talking about testing and plugins, there's been a lot of PRs which still need to be tested against Mordig 5. For example, the point groups, which I already teased. So if you have a bit of experience or not experience at all, also just go to the link in the show notes. There's an article on how to contribute, and every PR that gets tested can be merged. So the more people test, the better Mordig 5 will be in the end.
Yeah, maybe to make it a little more tangible, like testing is always about some element in the code where either a bug has been fixed or a new feature has been introduced or whatever. And it's really easy these days to get your individual Mordig instance created for you with exactly that feature installed. And then all you need to understand is what do I have to look for? And that's sometimes the biggest part. Yep. And that's what this article describes. So if you never tried it, if you haven't heard of Gitpod, for instance,
Gitpod
it's just a mouse click, a single mouse click, and you have it. So go
so
for it.
Easy.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, when we're talking about Mordig 5, I think there's Mordig 4.4.9, which is the latest version of the Mordig 4 branch. Then I'll pop up some warnings about the deprecated plugins or plugins to be deprecated Mordig 5, I think the go-to and the pipe drive plugin, which will not be there anymore in Mordig 5.
Yeah, it's as far as I understand this long-standing idea of let's get rid of functionality that's not really part of the core.
Yeah,
that's now getting reality. So, yeah, you mentioned the go-to meeting and or go-to webinar and the pipe drive CRM. Those are integrations with external things, and those should not be part of the core. There should be plugins, and then you can have third-party plugins for that as well. So all of these integrations move to third-party plugins now, and these are ready for you, and there are blog posts out there to explain it all.
Yep.
And now you get this nice little messages that say, hey, you're using GoToMeeting. Please be aware that from Mautic 5.1, you have to use an external plugin for this. And why not switch to it now?
True.
Yeah. So what else? For all who have been around with Mautic for more than a year or so, you will probably remember the old email builder.
The legacy builder,
yeah. Email and landing page, I have to say. It's still around. So with Mautic 4, we always had two builders that mm-hmm. you can choose from. With Mautic 5, the legacy builder is going away. That's not because we are bad people or we hate you. It's because the rich text editor that's part of the legacy builder, that's no longer available in a license that allows open source contribution.
No, that's a bummer.
It is, yeah. At least for those who are stuck with the legacy builder, and I know there are people out there. So it will be gone with Mautic 5. If there is substantial interest in keeping it alive, there's the idea and discussion about providing the integration or providing the legacy builder as a third-party plugin with an individual licensing, so we are mm-hmm. legal and we are also safe, because at this point, security issues have not been solved.
No.
so there are security updates that you would have to take, but they cannot be taken because this really old version in here is no longer maintained. Yeah. Okay. So, long story short, if it's a big deal for you, yeah, you might, for instance, ping us because we have clients with the same situations.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably move to the new builder, but the discussion is open, and get in touch.
Link is in the show notes.
Yes, of course. And speaking of email, that's one of the core topics with Mautic 5, is to make sure that this important thing called email is also fully supported with Mautic 5. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's about delivering emails and delivering tons of emails to multiple email providers like Amazon SES or Mailgun, or you have it.
No.
The mechanism for that is completely changed. For one thing, the queuing, and for the other thing, the delivery through in this case, and Symphony Mailer. It's all new. Hopefully, it's even more powerful than it was before. But that's a big topic: the functionality, the scalability, and Mautic 5 will not be there if it's not great.
Yeah, sure.
What else do we have? We did have Mautic conference. We did not mention that.
Yeah.
And the YouTube videos hopefully will be there around next week or so.
Yeah.
And
depends on when you listen this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my tiny little perspective. Like always, we have a mix and a huge variety of topics for everybody, like using, building, running, developing for Mautic, etc. One thing that I would point everybody to is the Mautic update, which is like the core, the center, the epicenter talk by Ruth,
mm-hmm.
giving a complete overview on the state of the nation.
Yeah.
And the other, which is pretty obvious, is that there are multiple talks around AI, to plugins being presented to the public, also discussion around a reflection around AI with Mautic. Very insightful. Funnily, I had this AI thing in the opening remarks that I had the pleasure to give,
yeah.
where we said this conference is 100% ChatGPT generated.
I remember, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, of course it wasn't. Yeah, what else?
There's also a great talk by a guy called Leon Oudmans about housekeeping, which I would recommend.
Who's that?
Leon Oudmans. You might have heard of him.
Yeah.
But also there's the roundup or the stats in the forum, which Roof published. And to put it easy, it was a pretty great success overall. But she wrote like one of these great articles rounding up the conference. And
I see.
And I suggest everybody should take a look and read it because it.
Or just watch all the videos.
Yeah, it's also possible.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Let's move on to feature readers in Mautic.
Yeah, there's some things happening on the plugin side of Mautic. There's been a new. Or I don't even know if it's that new, but I don't think we ever covered it in the Mauticast. It's called the VP Swings, and it's a WooCommerce integration. And they recently updated their plugin to the newest version, added some features, as far as I remember. I might be wrong, though. And I don't think we ever covered that WooCommerce integration.
Yeah, I think VP Swings is the name of the company, and they're... Mautic plugin, I tend to believe it's the most comprehensive at this point, but because we're not using WooCommerce ourselves, I cannot tell
cannot really compare.
Yeah. Well, then from a good friend Matisse, there's a plugin called the Mautic Field Group Bundle. Mm-hmm. Basically, what that does is make category better and better and better. He did multiple iterations now, so you can work much more fine grained with categories. You can also rename things now and so on. So that's definitely something that everybody should be aware of, maybe look at and use. And I think honestly, it should go into Mautic 5 at some point. And then Bitly, the link shortener, there was a plugin in the past that allowed integration of Bitly with Mautic. It was gone or would no longer support it. Now it is back thanks to our friends at WebMechanic in France.
Nice.
They created a brand new Bitly bundle directly for Mautic 5, so it's not going to be there for Mautic 4 ever. And the great news is it also supports SMS.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's, in my mind, that's the one big thing why we would want a link shortener in the first place. Or can you do you know other use cases?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't know why you would use a link shortener in an email if it's just linked button or something. I see for SMS that it's a very nice feature if you're limited characters, and that makes sense. But
maybe if you want to display the link target in clear and not just link on a text or something. I don't know. The big con obviously is
GDPR.
GDPR.
For sure.
Yeah. So in our clients, we never use things like Bitly because it just doesn't go with GDPR.
Yeah, talking about GDPR, a bit of privacy and security, I think you've got a few pieces of information left on your list.
Yeah, I did collect some things. I mean, privacy and security is not exactly the same, but it appeared to me that there's a lot of things going on there at this point from new features like a new capture integration to a lot of feature requests. Say finally making it possible to disable the Gravatar, which is a problem, or providing two-factor authentication for Mautic to make the login secure. More secure. Well, you might add that using external authentication, who can do that? That allows you to have two-factor authentication today. So that's auth zero or whatever you have. But directly in Mautic, we don't have it at this point. And then, of course, there's all those cookie, consent, GDPR compliance things.
Yep.
In fact, there was a longish discussion in the German language Slack channel. And that turned into a forum thread where some of those cookie things, shortcomings that we have today or possible improvements to be even more perfect were collected. Mm-hmm. And I'll link to that in the show notes, but also in that German user group or German language community, we reiterated on that again in the meetups, and we are going to have an in-person meetup later in August. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, at least it's our best intention, to really spend hours on that, to hammer it all down and not only have a list, but also have very specific ideas on how it could work and should work. Yeah. And ideally organize how we can get it done. So if you have your own ideas, your own requirements, you could, for instance, just add to the forum thread. Mm-hmm. Or just tell us over here. And if you're interested in getting it on the ground, please also let mm-hmm. us know. Maybe you're already working on things, have things in the drawer. We are very keen to learn about that.
Yeah, sure.
So we can come to a like a next level of GDPR compliance for Mautic.
Yeah.
So let's move on to knowledge pieces, know-how and stuff. That's all yours, Liam.
Yeah, I will open up with a, I'd say, older information, but it's not that far known. So there is a console command, actually, when you're trying to test things, spinning up a new empty Mautic instance and need a bit of data here and there. There's a command to just generate sample data, which is it's doctrine fixtures load or DFL, and it just generates a bit of campaigns, pre-designed context, so your Mautic instance is not completely empty, and that makes testing a lot easier.
Frankly, I'm not even sure it does campaigns, does it?
I think it does like two sample campaigns, cool. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But just overall a bit of data here and there to make it more easy to do test and a bit.
But it does override whatever you have, or at least it spoils your production instance if you ever run it there. So don't try this at home.
Spoil testing systems.
Only try that at home.
Staying at testing and talking a bit of campaigns, there is a forum entry by Joey from Friendly talking about how to A/B test campaigns, and that's pretty smart way. I think he made like a little YouTube video about that. And I think you should check it out. The link to that is in the show notes.
Yeah, it's funny because we had the same requirement quite a while ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And, so it seems like everybody is coming up with their own like little hacks to allow A/B testing in campaigns. In the end, I always think it's not complete because you cannot really do the stats afterwards. You have to do it all manually.
It's like a missing feature that people try to come up with solutions on their own. But maybe we should write a feature request, come up with our own ideas, or open a forum thread about that.
The other thing that I recently had a discussion about once again was why couldn't Mautic support A/B testing in the content of a website.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the same thing that other third-party tools that you stick on top of a website with JavaScript and mm-hmm. say, okay, what if the button is yellow? What if it is green? Or what if you have this headline or that headline? Yeah. How well will the call to action perform? And I'm not sure about that. On the one hand, it has nothing to do with Mautic, period.
True.
On the other, it might be really helpful. It might be really cool to have that in an open source and on premise self-hosted tool for various reasons. Once again, and it might even be way more lightweight than one of those commercial monsters is. But I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Kubernetes. So basically running Mautic in a containerized cluster or whatever. If you know what Kubernetes is, if you're interested in using that with Mautic, there's a little movement there and a forum thread. We also have this Slack channel, but that's rather silent over there. But I found the forum thread interesting that we have more movement, more people out there using Kubernetes with Mautic.
Nice.
Next up, if you are affected, if you see those CSRF token timeout things popping up, so basically get thrown out of your Mautic sessions, the session in the backend, then you should probably tune your configuration. And that's been around for ages. It is basically solved. So if you're still affected by that, look at the show notes.
Yeah, nice. Is there anything else technical, or what do we have left in the pipe?
Let's move on to styling, maybe.
Yeah.
We have those themes in Mautic, and then people know it for email themes and
landing pages.
It also has messages. Forms is pretty not well known. The typical way, if you have a form, you just give a field a class, and all the styling comes from the surrounding website, from the content management system. If you want to style yourself, then the one thing is a plugin that we had like two or three episodes ago, where you can, in the Mautic GUI, can just say, this fancy color and so on. And the other is that you can actually do some styling in themes. We described that there's a forum thread discussing that. The interesting spin-off from that to me was that it was pointed to a website or to a blog post on a site called MauticRoundup.com, which had a pretty impressive article on creating Mautic themes, which goes beyond the public documentation and other blog posts that I've seen.
Nice.
But I never heard about that website, and it turned out it's pretty brand new. It came to light in May this year.
No, that's rather new.
It's created by somebody called Tobias. I failed to figure out who Tobias is. But I think it's good stuff, and there's like five-ish articles right now. I hope he will keep going.
Yeah, so too.
And I would invite you to maybe get closer to the Mautic education team, because it's good stuff, Tobias. Toby, let's say Toby.
Toby.
What I'm not sure about is the name Mautic Roundup. Has this name Mautic in it? There have been cases where the legal and finance team has not been too happy about that. I won't comment here. Okay. And then there's Feature Wish that I've been a little bit involved with, but it came from a discussion spun off by Dirk Spanhaus. And initially, he asked for more and better conditions and decisions. And then the one thing that the discussion led to was that decisions and conditions have always been confusing to people. Nobody ever knowed, some knew, but many got confused about how do they really work.
Yeah.
And one example, if you want to check for a certain URL being visited in the current state, that would be a decision. And decision always means, from now on, please sit and wait until somebody does this thing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and you can give a time limit, like, okay, just wait for 3 weeks and then move on. Now, you could also have the idea to say, I want to check if that person has visited the website in the past. So it's really pretty much the same thing. It's just another time perspective. And so the original idea was to make that really clear and rename decision to wait for a condition.
Yeah.
And what we called the condition in the past is test the condition now and only once, mm-hmm. something like that. And long story short, we discussed exactly this thing in the sprint,
yeah,
like 2 or 3 days ago, and came up with a conclusion that we don't want to rename because renaming fundamental things is always a pain in somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but instead, when you click on in the campaign builder, you want to add something and have the choice between campaign and decision and also action, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a little explanation, and what we need to do is make that explanation much better.
Yeah,
say,
that's
okay,
not a nice solution.
Look in the past or wait in the future. And then when we have that, we are totally open to add all the additional ideas that Dirk originally had within this framework of decision and conditions.
Yeah.
So the feature wish pretty much resolved, I hope. The only thing we now need to do is improve the explanation in all the translations, by the way.
That will be a lot of work, though.
Maybe a topic for another episode to explain how translations work.
Yes.
Few people really get that.
True.
Good. Shall we move on to the interview part?
We shall, yeah.
Okay. Once again, this is about CRM integration with Sugar CRM and Sweet CRM.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar is the original product. When that went fully commercial, there was a fork called Sweet CRM. And here comes Paul Stevens. Yeah. Today we want to talk about something really deep open source, a perfect combination of the best of breed. And that's CRM side is Sugar CRM, or its little sibling, brother, sister, Sweet CRM. And I found the perfect person to talk about that and integrating that to the marketing automation side with Mautic. And that's Paul Stevens over there in Canada. Hey, Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Cool. Thanks so much for your time. Canada is pretty much uncharted territory in terms of Mautic. Do you have any buddies over there who are also doing Mautic in Canada?
Not offhand. I mean, Mautic, I find, is sort of less known than Sweet CRM and Sugar CRM. But certainly there are a fair number of Sugar CRM and Sweet CRM users here in Canada.
Okay, maybe communities should do more crossover. I don't know. Where exactly in Canada are you?
So I live and work just outside of Toronto. Everybody probably knows Toronto. about an hour outside of Toronto, just in the suburbs.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I'm jealous. I do know a little bit of what you're doing, but maybe you tell it to your listeners. So you do both CRM and Mautic. So what exactly are you doing and how did you get there?
Okay. So, my typical story that when I'm talking to clients is, I tell them I was a sales and marketing manager and also a general manager of a transportation company about 10 years ago. At the time, I obviously did a lot of sales management and used sales software and all that kind of thing, but I really got into the digital marketing side of things and wanted to leave and start my own company. So that's how I started iGo Sales and Marketing. And at the time, obviously, I needed a CRM to support my business to start. And, I'm one of those salespeople that I always used a CRM. So I couldn't imagine selling without a CRM. And I also, as starting up, couldn't, afford a very expensive CRM system. And I came across Sugar CRM at the time. It was Sugar CRM CE, and started using that. And I couldn't believe how great it was. And I ended up using it for many years. And so my business has kind of evolved over the years.
Hang on. So that's iGo Sales and Marketing, right? So you mentioned it, but maybe it didn't come across as the name of your company or So
yes, iGoSalesandMarketing is the name of my company. If anybody actually needs help or consultation in these areas, iGoSalesandMarketing.com. That's where you can find me. I also have a YouTube channel as well, where I do a lot of tutorials and walkthroughs about how to use Suite CRM. And it's mainly from a user perspective, not so much a developer perspective, but like if you're like, you know, a sales guy and you're trying to like do follow-up automation in Suite CRM or something like that, how to do that or how to use the reports or how to better, more efficiently use like the lead lists and things like that. So that's the focus of the channel. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can find me there.
Yeah, cool.
So the other thing my business specializes in is really bringing together your website, Mautic, and Suite CRM as one system and the integration of the three. So, I mean, further on in the interview, we'll get into the nitty gritty of that. But for now, that's the integration of the three is what I specialize in.
Okay, cool. Yeah, excellent. So you did say the word Suite CRM multiple times. I did mention Sugar CRM, or you already said that it used to be Sugar CRM, but maybe not everybody is familiar with the background on that. So why don't you talk about the history of Sugar and Suite CRM and what it is today as well?
Okay, so Sugar CRM started off as open source software. I mean, they always had... They had an open source model and a paid model. So there was Sugar CRM and then there was Sugar CRM CE, which was the community edition. And it was open source. And a number of years ago, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know the exact year, but like, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. Sugar CRM decided that they were no longer going to support or put resources into the open source part of their business. And that Sugar CRM was going to be completely a paid subscription model. Okay. And then there were a number of people who were very disappointed about that decision and were working on the Suite CRM or Sugar CRM project at the time. And they decided to start a company called Sales Agility and pursue Suite CRM as an open source software project. So that's Sugar CRM. It's still the core of Suite CRM is still Sugar CRM. And they've just built on top of that. And I mean, they've added a number of features. They've improved the user interface. They sort of, you know, work on, you know, for example, Office 365 changed the way you can connect to them for via IMAP. And, you know, obviously somebody needed to rewrite all the connection software and Sales Agility ended up doing that. So that's the history of the two. The lead on development in Suite CRM is Sales Agility right now, but it is community supported. And there are lots of developers around the world that help sort of keep it going and fix bugs and update parts of it. Cool. But primarily, like I would say, you know, 70-80% of all the work that gets done on it is done by Sales Agility.
Okay. So it's basically the other way around that Mautic went from partly commercial to all open source. This one has now gone the fork way in the Suite CRM is the open source flavor. And you think it's good CRM, I take it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have a number of clients that have moved off of Salesforce onto Suite CRM with very, you know, little extra training in terms of their people and very easy to migrate. So I guess what I'm getting at is the features and abilities of Suite CRM are up there with like a, you know, world-class paid CRM.
Yeah. I have to admit, I did use Sugar, ages ago, long, long time before though with any Mautic, but we did not ever open it up in the last 10 years, nor did I ever try the integration. I'm using multiple other CRM integrations. But I'm very curious what you can tell us about the Sugar integration. And let's start by what what are using people it for with in conjunction with Mautic?
Okay. So the integration is fairly seamless and easy to set up. So there's a plugin that comes with Mautic, and basically you enable it. You have to be a little bit technical because you have to set up an API key on the SweetCRM side, but yeah, there's plenty of documentation for that. Mm. And then you have to enter that information in Mautic. And then the next step is really like it'll connect to SweetCRM and it'll pull all your SweetCRM fields in. And basically it'll be side by side, you know, the SweetCRM field and the Mautic fields, and you just select which fields sync with in Mautic, sync with which fields in SweetCRM. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there is some, if you've installed Mautic yourself, you're probably familiar with setting up the cron jobs that make Mautic run in the background. Mm-hmm. There's one specific that you set up for the SweetCRM and Mautic sync. That can sometimes be a little bit challenging depending on your hosting provider, getting the syntax exactly correct to make it work. But once you get it working once, it just runs by itself forever and it runs fairly well. So what typically people use it for, or what I use it for, is when you're trying to measure things like lead score, in Mautic. So for example, if you have a lead where they filled out a form, I mean, that's intelligence that you want to get over to your salespeople, right? Mm. The lead might have visited the website. The lead might have opened up a few emails. And again, you don't really want your sales rep in Mautic searching through all the history for days, looking up all their clients, seeing what they did and what their activity is. But what you can do is start scoring those leads in Mautic. And then, like, let's say you give somebody 10 points for visiting the website, and you give them 10 points every time they open an email, and you give them, like, let's say 50 points when they fill out a web form. Okay. Yep. The in Mautic, the lead starts to accumulate points, and you could maybe set a threshold, like, let's say any lead over 50 points, I'm going to notify the sales rep in SweetCRM that, you know, this lead is really engaged and interested, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it one step further in SweetCRM, and you can do some automation on the SweetCRM side and say, you know, if the lead has over 50 points, then schedule a call on Monday for the sales rep to follow up. Right. So you start to really get into automation and getting the real marketing intelligence from Mautic over to SweetCRM for the sales rep to use and allow SweetCRM automation to, you know, manage what the sales rep is doing. Cool. And also, you know, it makes it easier for the sales rep because they're not having to search through all the data.
Yeah. And get the quality.
You've developed a system to tell them when it's time to call the customer. Right.
Yeah. So in other words,
that's the main point of the integration.
So this, I think it's push to integration. It's just a generic name in Mautic. It's fully supported with Sugar. You can even select a campaign, maybe, I don't know. And you're basing it on, or you like to base it on scoring, which takes it really to the next level. So yeah.
So I mean, basically any field in SweetCRM can be synced with a field in Mautic, and you can make, you know, if the field doesn't exist in Mautic, you can make custom fields. Sometimes it can be a bit tricky if you have like drop downs, for example. You want to make sure that all the values in SweetCRM for the drop down are the same values in Mautic. So there's, in terms of integrating, there are some considerations with you know,
the ownership and all
back and forth. But pretty much, you know, if the field exists in SweetCRM, you can sync it with a field in Mautic.
Yeah. So any other pitfalls that people should be aware of?
The one pitfall at the moment, and I hope it gets addressed sometime soon, is just that it seems to do a great job at syncing from SweetCRM to Mautic. But the sync, you have the ability to choose which direction each field, like, syncs from, and which one is going to be the field of record, whether it's on the Mautic side or the SuiteCRM side.
Yeah.
And if you choose to push a field to SuiteCRM as opposed to the other way around, it tends not to get updated unless the SuiteCRM side gets updated. So, you know, I have logged that in Mautic on their, on GitHub for one of their issues, and hopefully that gets addressed soon. But, that's really the only thing that, you know, I would really like to see fixed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you see like a community or some people who are attached to the SugarCRM plugin, who take care of this integration, who give a little love to it, or is it rather, it's there, it's part of the core even, or it's delivered with the core and it works, but nobody really champions it?
It's delivered with the core, so it's part of Mautic.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I find, you know, like with most open source software, you know, certain things get attention for whatever reason. You know, they're top of mind for the people working on it, and other things, you know, tend to not get priority. And I know they have done a lot of work on the Salesforce integration over the years. But the SuiteCRM integration, I mean, it, like I said, it like 99% works. Mm-hmm. That's really the only one issue that I've ever had with it, is that it's not going the other way. And I hope somebody maybe champions that someday. And, you know, who knows, I might even jump into that and try and get it working. But yeah, so, I mean, with open source, I mean, someone has to, like, you know, jump in and take that issue and try and solve it.
Yeah. Or even pay someone to solve it. I mean, if I am an agency or a user, and there's an issue and it's important to me, then find a developer, whatever. Or motivate the core team, I don't know, whatever. But that's the way open source works, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta, I mean, I do a fair, I'm probably, like, in terms of the community side, I'm probably more involved in the SuiteCRM community side. Like, I try and help and resolve bugs and that kind of thing on the SuiteCRM side. So, you know, it depends. Like, sometimes you get the attention of the main developers, and then they chime in on the issue you're working on, and you know, it'll get resolved and it'll get pushed. But I mean, typically, you know, I, from my personal experience, it's like, if you're sort of showing that you're willing to put the time in to, like, solve the issue, then the developers, like, will step in and try and help get it pushed to the, you know, production version, right?
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, if you just dump a problem there and say, I found a bug, goodbye, you know, it typically doesn't get a lot of attention unless, you know, someone else tries to solve it, at least.
Yeah, and the other thing is, even if there is a fix by somebody, then that doesn't mean that it's ready for production, because it takes the quality assurance. And that's another thing where you as a user, or anybody else for that matter, could deliver the decisive value by really doing the PR testing, the acceptance testing for this new code. And a lot of code is dangling there because nobody is able or willing to test it, really. Yeah, so I, in my experience, there's a lot of people out there who face some issue, would be willing to help, but don't know really how to start. So maybe that should be made easier going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general on both sides, if you're wanting to help, I mean, the place to go is on GitHub for both either Mautic or SuiteCRM.
Sure.
And find one of the issues that you want to work on, or add an issue that isn't there. And, you know, start working on it, like, start trying to find a solution, or at least a direction for a developer to look in where the problem might be.
Yeah.
As opposed to just saying, hey, I tried this, it doesn't work.
And
that's not likely to get attention of anyone.
Yeah, but well, properly reporting a bug is a good first step. And then sometimes there is this gap, because if you are not a developer yourself and you don't have a developer at hand, then what, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. There's all kinds of users with different levels of experience. But typically the issues that people have started to solve or are close to solving or have a solution for are the ones that get attention versus the ones where it's just a problem with no solution.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Now, you did mention that you are rather active on the SweetCRM side.
Yes.
On the Mautic side, we have a Mautic conference coming up in June. And I was wondering whether there is such a thing for SweetCRM as well, like a conference online or in person or whatever. And maybe it would make sense to spread the word about Mautic a little bit there.
Sure. I mean, there may be. I haven't seen one or that's specific to SweetCRM. I don't think Sales Agility runs one. But something like that, yeah, might get attention for both, you know, pieces of software.
Well, there are events, but not like a conference. Whatever. I think it's a good connection, and we should maybe spend some time and energy and love to make more people aware of it. Is there anything else worth knowing about it?
About the integration itself?
Yeah, or in using it best or whatever.
Like I said, the key thing is being able to get intelligence over to the Salesforce. But the main reason for using Mautic at all is that, SweetCRM is really it's a fantastic CRM. And, you know, Mautic is a fantastic marketing platform. But SweetCRM is kind of lacking in the email marketing side of things. So for example, in SweetCRM, if you want to create a newsletter every month and send it out to a list of people, that's no problem. You know, you create a list, you create an email template, and you hit send and it goes out. But when you want to do more complicated things, like, I just got a lead today and I want to send out, an email to them saying, you know, thank you for filling out the web form or whatever. And then, you know, I want to send out another one, like, let's say a week from now, that says, hey, you know, here's some more information on my company. I'm glad you're still interested. And then, you know, a week later, send something else, and a week later, send something else, and so on and so forth. You can kind of do that in SweetCRM, but it's not really designed to do an email campaign based on a relative date.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where Mautic is fantastic. Yeah, so you can, you know, have the best of both worlds by having the sync and then use Mautic to do that stuff and use SweetCRM to, you know, do the CRM stuff, like keeping information on the clients and managing your sales team and keeping track of your opportunities and that kind of thing. So you really, by combining the two, get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense and the reason why you would want to do that.
Yeah, cool. I like it because I assume that SweetCRM, most people or many people like to host it themselves or not use a SaaS service, but have their own hosting environment or something. Is that about right?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a range of sort of people who do it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, small businesses, you know, consultants, one or two people or whatever SweetCRM makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I've got some clients that have like 25 sales reps that use it.
Ooh,
okay. And it makes a lot of sense at that point because of the cost difference between, SweetCRM and then a commercial grade CRM that you're paying a monthly subscription for.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the range. Most people host it themselves. The one sort of area where I think it makes sense to do like a software service model is if you are, you know, doing something like financial services or insurance business or something where you have really tight confidential information. I personally advise clients to, you know, like Sales Agility has like a suite assured kind of hosting plan sort of thing for Suite CRM. And it's insured against, you know, data problems or getting compromised or whatever. So in those cases, I would say, you know, software service model is better because you limit your liability. But for general use, certainly, you know, installing it on like a commercial web server and securing it is totally fine.
Yeah. So at least I have both options. And in general, I think it sounds a lot like Mautic from small businesses to larger medium size or even some enterprise businesses. Really good fit, really good match. Thank you very much for the insights. And I don't want to let you go without asking you, how can people find you online? I'll include the YouTube link that you already mentioned and certainly the way to your company, but also like LinkedIn, or where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me, I'm on LinkedIn for sure, Paul Stevens. You'll find me working for IGO Sales and Marketing in Canada here. My website is igosalesandmarketing.com, and that's all one word. In hindsight, I should have picked something shorter. But and then on YouTube, you can find me, the name of my channel is just Paul Stevens, but if you search for Paul Stevens and Suite CRM, you'll definitely come across my videos and my channel. And again, I do a whole bunch of stuff on Suite CRM. There's probably 30 or 40 videos there on how to use Suite CRM.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your work. And let's touch base later on. I can't wait to learn more about the Suite CRM community, I have to say. And I'll certainly, when it comes to the conversations, comes to CRM with clients in the future, I'll have one more option on the list. So thanks once again. Take care and have a good time in Canada.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, Leon, there you go.
Yeah, that was an interview and a half. very nice and interesting points, but I say bottom line, the integration still works and will work in the future. And CRM will still be a broad topic which we need to take into account. And I also like that he did a lot of documentation and less of commercial, but more like he did a documentation, explained how it works. I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure hope it's going to work in the future.
Yeah, nobody I believe.
Can ever promise. Yeah, but what your listeners can't see is that Leon's head is totally spinning now. Okay, moving on. There was a deadline that you just missed if you are not able to time travel back. This deadline was 3 days ago, and that was for a call for an official trial provider on Mautic. So the idea being that on Mautic.org, you have a button that says, get your trial version now, and that would take you to a SaaS provider. And you could have a Mautic version for free there in whatever flavor. And of course, for that SaaS provider, it was a good way to find new clients.
Sure.
And for Mautic, it's a good way to give people a sandbox to try and play with.
Win-win.
And at the same time, hopefully some euros, dollars, whatever, might eventually go back to the good cause of the Mautic project. So we will link to this call for proposals because I think it's interesting for everybody. And even if you are a SaaS provider and missed this, there will be a next time. But like 99% of the listenership is not SaaS provider themselves.
True.
I am pretty sure it's still fascinating idea, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And also in that blog post or in that forum article, there's also a timeline because now is the evaluation phase where we need to come to a decision and some next steps.
Yeah. Talking about good news, I think Mordic won the FOSS Award.
Yoo-hoo.
I just kind of remembered. I think the FOSS Award is a... Oh, just help me out. What does FOSS stand for again? Free.
Oh my goodness, free and open source software.
Yeah, exactly. I always mess it up a bit. And on the Department of Open Source Marketing Automation, Mordic was the clear winner, which is nice.
Yeah. So a little bit of open source theory here for everybody. Mm-hmm. I just can't stand it. So open source basically is, only says, yeah, the source code is there. Free and open source is more like, yeah, it is there for you and so on. And then the complete correct term would be FLOSS, like free and Libre open source software.
Yeah.
So free as in free beer and Libre as in free speech.
Nice. Now I learned something as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Lovely. And... yeah, then let's move on. I think Roof by now released the second Mordic Open Startup Report. So if you're interested in the key figures of the Mordic community health, I think contributions, there's like a huge report covering everything and everyone. There's the second iteration out in the forum, and there will be a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's basically the new standard of... how we make ourselves totally transparent, that even goes to financial aspects and all.
Yeah.
And it's not our own invention, but Open Startup is the standard, the project that we adhere to.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about that report and contribution, it's always nice to know what actually counts as contribution when contributing towards Mordic. And there's a very nice video by Roof explaining precisely what counts as contribution in which regard. So if you out there always wanted to know how you can contribute and how your contribution counts, this video is for you. Link to that will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when it comes to what the name, community partners, partnership model for Mordic, that requires some contribution. It's definitely good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this word of the governance model, and it sounds like a little bit scary of being governed. Yeah. In the past, it was like a mixed bag, like here's what Acquia has to say, and here's how we organize ourselves as the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Acquia and everybody else, third party, is out of the picture, and we are... master of our own fates, of course, we still have to make up our mind what are the rules? How does it all work? And so on. And so that discussion has been led. There was a working group for that, and it was also totally open for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to a draft for a basically second version of these rules that had been out for review and for comments, and it is now back to the community council.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the legacy institutions within the Mordic community, where we basically have to make the decision and say, okay, these are the rules, and here's how we proceed. And we're really talking about weeks now for that being implemented.
Nice.
It also ties into tooling because parts need to be tool-based, and we also have a forum post on that, what tooling we consider using. And as far as I know, Ruth is currently, it's always Ruth, is currently implementing all that, so we can hopefully get going sometime in August. And that means that from then on, you can also be an official Mordic member.
No.
So as an individual or as a company, for a company we even have 5 tiers from community, bronze, etc., all the way up to platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for the Mordic community that many people do that. So we want large membership base, but we also need the money.
It's a bit of both.
It definitely is, yeah. And maybe it's also a good topic for a future podcast to explain all that and then motivate as many people as possible to be part of it. And then one last thing from my end is a little bit to our local. I mean, we are obviously sitting in Germany and to everybody in the German-speaking regions. We are doing a local official Mautic, Mautic camp, I would say.
Okay.
Let's call it a meetup, whatever. On August 16th, where we will workshop the full day or full afternoon anyway. Have some presentations, have some, it's a little bit like open space or bar camp style. In the evening by night, we will continue with a lot of networking.
Of course.
Maybe joined by some lecker things. We'll see. But that's the thing we mentioned earlier, where we also want to get the GDPR off the ground, to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
So if you are in the region fluent enough in German, then do join us, and then August 16th, it's of course free.
Do you already know where exactly that takes place? Or
I think it's next door from where you are sitting. It's a Leuchtfeuer office.
Yeah.
In Hanover. We have very nice hotel rooms booked already. And so, so a lot being covered. I'm still hyped up from the sprint things.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot more things than we discussed. For instance, little other spoiler is we're getting closer to have local language landing pages from Mautic, which look really nice.
Finally, nice. Yeah.
But lots of other nice things as well. Okay. Anything that we forgot?
I don't think so. I think we covered pretty much everything. Yeah. My list is empty.
Yeah. Maybe one reminder that comes up with sprint once again. We do have more case studies, but we want even more. So if you have a nice case yourself and are willing and able to talk about it, do let me know. If you have clients and are allowed to talk about those cases, please write it up or get in touch.
Yeah.
We definitely want more and more case studies for the Mautic world.
The more the merrier.
Okay. The more the merrier. That applies to all of your feedback. Give us ideas, give us criticism, give us questions. Maybe if you know something that you want to hear an interview about, do let us know by all means.
Yeah.
And other than that, don't forget to subscribe or tune in next time.
See you then
on the Mauticast. Bye bye.
Bye bye.